Hello, and welcome back to Reality Check. I'm happy to say that I've been getting some very kind sentiments from listeners recently, and I want to thank everyone for listening. Sometimes it can feel like I'm talking into an empty room, so it's always appreciated when I get feedback, good or bad. So please feel free to shoot me a line with suggestions, thoughts, whatever. As always, I'm looking for more real-life questions to answer. So, you know, if you're stuck on something in particular in your life, with jobs, relationships, family, you name it, send your questions on through the contact form linked at the top of the page. One thing I've noticed in talking to people about what it is that I do is that most everyone's eyes light up and they seem to get very positive about the idea of talking to someone like me one-on-one. They recognize that it's probably a great idea, both for the pure catharsis of seeing themselves and the world around them more clearly, and as a means of enacting noticeable changes in how they navigate life. But then most people will quickly forget about it, settling back into their default behaviors that leave them unfulfilled. I recognize that in a recessed economy, that your time and money are often competing between necessities and leisure, and, you know, like kids and whatever else. But what I think most people don't fully understand is how much of an impact it can have to deal with underlying psychological and behavioral issues. Obviously, everyone is different, and results may vary, but I can't think of one person whose relationships, earning potential, or whatever else couldn't be helped by talking with me, even for just a few sessions. When you step back and think about how your psychological baggage and coping mechanisms touch on every aspect of your life, I would argue it's somewhat reckless to not address those issues. So when all is said and done, especially when you take into consideration the Groupon deal listed on the homepage, the time and money expense is paltry when weighed against the potential benefit. Okay, so that was one of my harder sells that I've done on here, but I mean every word of it. And all of that actually leads me quite nicely to today's topic, because speaking of baggage, this is the mother of all common issues. Unearned guilt. Quickly defined, unearned guilt is the guilt one feels absent of knowingly doing something wrong. And so as to avoid confusion, I'll just say here that earned guilt, that is, feeling guilty because you knowingly and willfully did something immoral, is a very different beast, and depending on the context, could be entirely appropriate to feel and to grapple with. But unearned guilt is where you feel like something is your fault and you feel like crap about it, but if you were to truly analyze why, it would become clear that you either didn't do anything wrong at all, or you did something wrong because you acted without the proper information to guide you. And just as a technicality here, as I go forward here, if I mention guilt without the adjective of earned or unearned, I'm talking about unearned. All right, so the first truism that I'll lay out is this. Unearned guilt is always, always, always unhealthy and toxic to one's psyche. Whereas earned guilt has its appropriate place in small doses, unearned guilt is always going to be both irrational and dangerous to hold on to. The kicker here is that most people who feel guilty on a regular basis are experiencing the unearned variety. Earned guilt comes and goes with the context of the day, but unearned guilt is like a chronic disease that never really goes away on its own. There are two attributes of guilt that make it especially hard to grapple with. The first is that it's actually quite difficult to pinpoint exactly where it's coming from and exactly how it's affecting you on a day-to-day basis. In fact, oftentimes, unearned guilt will disguise itself as earned guilt in order to slip by your rational consciousness. For example, if you're taught as a child to believe that you were born a screw-up, that that's, you know, an immutable fact of your being, then when you actually do screw something up, as, you know, we all do from time to time, instead of thinking, damn, I gotta learn from that, and next time I'll do better, you instead think, well, of course I screwed up. That's who I am, and that's all I'll ever be. In that case, you can see how it wasn't memories from your childhood haunting you directly, like you weren't referencing something traumatic in your past, but rather those memories are indirectly coloring how you view your current day situations. You may think that you're being rational by beating yourself up over this recent mistake, but all you're really doing is rehashing 20 or 30 years of unearned guilt that was indoctrinated into you. The second attribute of unearned guilt is that it's impossible to appease. Unlike rational thought, where you gather evidence, analyze it, and then form a conclusion, guilt starts from the conclusion and works backwards to do everything it can to change your view so that you accept being demonized. This leads to a striking example of how dangerous irrationality is when trying to understand the world and your place in it. Guilt is a debt that can never be repaid because it's always moving the goalposts in order to keep you guilty. Were you taught that your value as a human being is only determined by how much you're willing to sacrifice for your family? Okay, fine. So then who determines when you've reached that quota? What happens if your family trained you so well to be a doormat that they learn to depend on you forever, always holding it over your head that if you dare to choose to do what you want rather than what they want, you're suddenly, you know, a selfish or a bad person? It wouldn't matter if you've been sacrificing them for them for years. They decided to move the goalposts. It's important to understand that because this guilt is implanted in us early in life, before we can rationally process it, it takes many forms. Maybe you were taught to feel that in a working environment, it's your duty to take the blame whenever a group project goes off the rails. Maybe you were taught that a best friend is someone who drops everything and comes to someone's aid regardless of how serious or frivolous the request. Are you in the middle of finishing an important task for work, but your friend called up crying because she broke up with her boyfriend for like the third time this month? Well, sorry, you forget that project and sacrifice so that you can rush to her side and comfort her about her irrational and melodramatic life. Otherwise, you're, you know, a bad friend and you should feel ashamed. These are just a few examples. There are literally an infinite amount of ways in which people are made to feel guilty by others. Parents are usually the people that first plant the seed, which, you know, of course makes sense, but they aren't always the only contributing factors. I mean, after all, if your parents train you to accept this guilt from them, why wouldn't you go on to accept it from friends, coworkers, and even society at large? Which actually leads me into the next iteration of all of this. I can't talk about unearned guilt without addressing the larger societal factors. All right, now, I don't want to get too political or preachy here, but it's important to understand that guilt is employed on a large scale, not just the interpersonal scale. And before I start naming names, please understand that I'm not condemning everyone in these categories, just the ones that are the most extreme and harmful to self-esteem. And not coincidentally, both of the groups I'm about to mention are only concerned with one thing, and it's the same thing that the overbearing family members are concerned with, and that is control over your life. At the end of the day, guilt is always employed as nothing less than a means of control over your life. Anyone attempting to make you feel guilty for something you didn't do or choose is trying to control you. I really can't stress that enough. All right, so here we go. The two major factions that use guilt for control of people's hearts and minds are the fire and brimstone religious fundamentalists and the so-called social justice warriors, and that, for those who don't know what that is, basically these are the people that have turned victimhood into a saintly status and employ any means to, you know, correct the imbalance. Now, you'll notice that, as is commonly understood, these two groups are on opposite ends of the left versus right scale. Normally, you would think these two groups have nothing in common. They hate each other. They might claim that, but the one thing they have 100% in common is using unearned guilt as a tool to control other people. If you're taught by your religion, and understand, I'm not being specific here. Most religions have sects like these within them. If you're taught that you, as a human being, are a born sinner and will forever be a sinner, always be evil at heart, always need to apologize for simply existing, how can you ever escape that? It fits both criteria for unearned guilt. It's hard to pin down. If we take Christianity, for example, it's stated that all of humanity is marked as sinful because Adam and Eve disobeyed God eons ago. And it also meets the other criteria, it's unclear how to remove it. If you have a stain of guilt on you, given by the actions of people you've never met, who may or may not have even existed, how are you ever supposed to grapple with that? It's nebulous. It's unclear how, or even if, you can remove the stain. And if you don't struggle your whole life to remove that stain, you are damned to an eternity of pain and suffering. Again, for something you never did or even had a passing hand in. Now, I know that according to the New Testament, Jesus sort of alleviated that stain a little by saying that if you believe in him, he'll forgive your sin. But if you analyze that for even a moment, you'll see how that's not a great deal. God tells you you are eternally damned because of your ancestors, and then when you're dehydrated in that desert of guilt, along comes God's son who says, "I'll give you healing water, but you must follow me." Well, I don't have much of a choice now, do I? I mean, I was meant to feel guilty for things I didn't do, then told that the only way to remove that guilt is by doing exactly what the guilt giver says? Maybe Jesus is a good guy to follow, but shouldn't I at least have some options, some choices other than come with me or rot in hell? So that's the extreme on the right. Let's take a look at the left. Social justice is this new catch-all phrase that encompasses the idea that we, as human beings, are in a constant state of oppressing one another, and that the only answer to that is to do exactly what social justice proponents tell us to do. They're the ones that determine if something is sexist or racist. They tell us that the white, straight, male patriarchy is the ever-present evil that must be attacked and destroyed. And finally, unlike Jesus, who gives pretty clear directions on how to remove the guilt, and that is, you know, just to believe in him, social justice warriors are literally never satisfied. The moment you admit that maybe white men have it better than other groups, they'll move on to the fact that even white women are privileged, that black men have it better than disabled people, that at least people in wheelchairs don't have to deal with being catcalled by strangers on the street. It's a never-ending race to the bottom, where the more of a victim you make yourself out to be, the more holy you are in this sort of secular religion. Again, we have a nebulous definition and starting point. For example, if I'm white, but I grew up in abject poverty, am I a victim or am I privileged? What about if I'm black, but my parents are well-connected? The answer, of course, is that both are guilty in whatever way the social justice warriors can think up. And like original sin, this guilt is given to you through no action of your own. You were born white and male, you had no control over that, but you must apologize for that as often as possible. And if you really want to atone for being born that way, you have to make other people feel guilty as well. And if you really, really want to get into social justice heaven, make sure to give as much money to this cause as possible. But wait, that's the second condition of unearned guilt. It never really goes away, no matter what you do to appease it. So, sorry, unless you are the biggest victim the world has ever seen, it will never be enough. You'll always be oppressing those who are more, you know, victim than you. Now, I know all of this probably pissed off a fair number of you listening because you either consider yourself religious or progressive, maybe both. You know, most people do. But understand that all I'm doing is pointing out the mafia-style tactics employed by the extreme elements of these groups. Both seek to convince you that you have a disease of the soul that can only be healed by their blessing, but because they want to control you, it will never be healed, and you'll always be told that you're close to absolution, but not quite there yet. And if you just sacrifice a little bit more, it might happen. It doesn't matter if this is coming from a priest or Michael Moore. It's wrong, and it destroys self-esteem. So now the question is, how do you identify and remove it? And man, is that a tough one. Because this guilt is almost always implanted in your mind as a child, it can take years sometimes to dissect what was taught to you, by whom, and how to deprogram it. Unlike the aforementioned snake oil salesman, I'm not going to claim that only I have the cure to this ailment. In fact, while I have a pretty good understanding of the nature of unearned guilt and how to recognize it, I know for a fact that it's often extremely hard to remove, even once you understand yourself inside and out. Some people are so damaged by guilt that I would recommend behavioral therapy administered by a trained psychologist. Specifically, there's a fairly new therapy, and I'll put the Wikipedia link in the description, called EMDR, which stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing. And that seems to be helping a lot of people with truly stubborn guilt issues. I can certainly work with you to identify your unearned guilt and rationally pick it apart. For some people, that'll be enough to begin stripping it away, but I'll be the first to admit that in extreme cases, it is necessary to seek out someone specifically proficient with this issue. As some final thoughts on the matter, I'll say this. The extent to which you harbor this poisonous guilt is the extent to which self-esteem will remain unattainable for you. It will always act as a ceiling on what you can accomplish and how happy you can ever feel. Like a drug addiction or terminal illness, unearned guilt will always keep taking and taking, never satisfied, never relenting. In fact, as years go by and you become more desperate for relief, you know, trying to give the guilt or the people who are trying to peddle guilt to you, as you keep trying to do anything you can to appease it, life will feel more and more hopeless. Eventually, you'll have given everything to this, you know, shadowy monster, and all it will ever do is grow larger and more destructive. Remember, if your default mentality is to take the blame for things you didn't do, you're probably suffering from this. Please seek help, either from me or a therapist, because as psychological conditions go, this one is a killer. No one should have to suffer from this for a moment longer than is necessary to fight it. I sincerely hope that everyone listening stayed with me, even if it was hard to hear me denounce certain groups that you consider yourself a part of. I'm hoping you understand where I was coming from. I'm not trying to convert anyone, you know, either religiously or politically, but I will call a spade and point out where some people are actively trying to use others in order to advance their own agenda. I know part of this episode is probably controversial for some people, and as I mentioned earlier, I'm eager to hear feedback, good or bad, so if this touched a nerve for you, by all means, let me have it on Facebook, Twitter, or, you know, send me some hate mail through my website. But with that, I'll talk to you all next week, and thanks for listening.